The Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a wretched death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes'? Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they realized he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. One verse from that gospel reading. "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom." That might sound initially like a bit of a scary verse as the focus of our sermon today. But really, I think this whole parable can come off as a little bit harsh for us. After all, you know, we're Lutherans who like to emphasize grace, and this seems to be about punishment for deeds done. But I would like to invite us to explore this parable a little bit today. And the key for me in trying to understand this is in the second half of that verse I just read. "Given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom." Then we'll later circle back to the first half. Producing the fruit of the kingdom. What does that mean? What does that look like? And to explore that, I want to tell you a story about a man named Pastor Fred. I was a student at my undergrad, and they had chapel every day. And different members of the faculty and staff led it. And whenever Pastor Fred led chapel, it was always an adventure. You never had any idea what he was going to do or say. This was before live stream, but I wouldn't have been shocked if there would have been a technical glitch every time he spoke. One time I remember he led the entire chapel in a Buddhist mantra, raising the eyebrows of quite a few people. Another time, he'd put candles all over the sanctuary and turned off all the lights so when he'd come in, he could have a message about light in the darkness. A message, I think, that would have resonated better had it not been 10 in the morning on a bright day with a lot of windows. But really, what was surprising about him was how he preached. He obviously didn't have a manuscript. And sometimes in the middle of preaching, he'd stop and say, "Actually, that might not be right. Let's try it again." One time he even said, in the middle of something, stopped and said, "I forgot my point. Can anyone help me?" Someone in the back shouted out, "It was about death." And then he laughed and kept going about talking about death. Sometimes there was a text that he'd talk about. Oftentimes there was a text, and then he went a different direction. Obviously, he'd not spent an overly long time planning his sermons. And you might hear this and think, oh my gosh, this must have been a train wreck. But actually, we as students loved it when Pastor Fred did chapel. And not just because of those entertaining moments, because the points he made weren't always brilliant, but they were always an expression of what was alive in his spirit at that time. He was a very reflective spiritual person, so that what was alive and relevant to him was very frequently very relevant to us. It was the fruit of his spirit. And wherever that might have come up was where he was that day. And that's what we all responded to. Fruitfulness comes forward in various ways in various times. Our focus today from the parable is on the kingdom of God given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. But there's something odd about that lesson with this parable. This is talking about a parable with a landowner and tenants. We usually assume good or bad tenants are based on how they do renting a space, and usually we would assume in an agricultural setting that would be judged on how well they produce from the land, how much profit the owner takes. And it starts just like that. They're bad tenants, they want to withhold the profit. But later the actual priority becomes clear. They don't just want to keep the produce of the vineyard, they want the vineyard for themselves. They think if they kill the son who is the heir, they'll become the inheritors. That's what they really want. Now, I hope you all quickly see clearly how foolish that plan is. Of course they're not going to become the new heirs if they kill the son. Why on earth would they ever be given the inheritance? The natural result, which the crowd is very able to say, they're going to be put to death. Not, oh, well, I guess there's nobody else, so they get the land. So this plan is not going to work, but they think it will. And what's of interest to me about this is that, remember, this is about the kingdom of God. These people want to hold it. They want to possess it. They think it's a prize they can keep for themselves. And then note what it said. The kingdom of God will be taken away from you, given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. That it'll be taken away from you sounds really harsh, but it's far less harsh if they don't actually have it to begin with. They think they have it, but there was no way these tenants were ever going to be the possessors of this vineyard. So it says it will be taken away, but what actually seems to be taken away is not something they had, but something that by their own delusion they thought belonged to them. We talk about the kingdom of God relatively frequently, especially in these series on parables. But because of the way it's translated, we could sometimes mistake that concept as something like a territory, something like a landmass, like a medieval kingdom, for example. And it could be something like a vineyard that could be possessed in that way. But that's not really accurate when we're talking about kingdom of God. And in fact, there are many people who don't want to translate it like that and say the term kingdom means something in English that's not right. You could just translate it as the reign of God. And the reason many scholars want to translate it that way is that the reign of God is an action that God is doing. It's not a place. It's something God's doing on earth. We can't possess something God's doing. We can't own it. It's an action. It is instead God's very presence in our lives. It can convict us, just like it would for these tenants, but it can also enliven us. So when it says the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produce the fruits of the kingdom, it's speaking to a people who think They are possessing it, but they do not. And it is speaking of something that the very content, the reign of God itself, is going to do something. It's going to convict them. It's going to enliven them. Instead, the focus of this parable really has nothing to do with possession at all, but instead, fruitfulness. See, the reign of God on earth is God bearing fruit. It's God acting and working in our lives. In the parable, the one thing that does not seem to be at issue is the productivity of the vineyard itself. The grapes apparently are producing. The vineyard owner has, in fact, done the work to make that happen before hiring these tenants. The vineyard is fruitful. In fact, the only way the story makes any sense is if the vineyard is fruitful and producing well. It's when the problem arises is once those fruits are supposed to be handed over to the owner, then there's the problem. There, the sinful self arrives, the one who's not acting rightly or wisely. But despite that, the reign of God is paradoxically active and alive in our midst. And what's more, the fruit that it suggests we are producing, we don't really produce in the first place, which is kind of good because we do a pretty bad job of it. We don't grow the vineyard. After all, growing isn't a transitive verb. We don't grow anything. Instead, the vineyard grows. Which this parable ought to be a bit of a moment of inspiration and comfort for us. These seem like pretty terrible tenants. We don't know their work ethic, but I think those whose brilliant scheme of trying to become inheritors by killing the heir while the estate owner is still alive and who could simply change a will, I'm not sure these are looking at the greatest farm managers in the world. And yet, despite them, the vineyard produces anyway. The work of God is not stopped by human selfishness, foolishness, or sinfulness. God's work is enacted anyway. And so when it says, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruit of the kingdom, just like the people didn't actually possess it for it to be taken away, neither do the people actually produce the fruits of the kingdom. That's what God's doing. And one of our hallmarks of Lutheran theology is that God works through means. It's God who does the growing and produces the fruit. But God's work is manifested by means in this world, through people, through each one of you. And no two people express that fruitfulness in exactly the same way. It's specific to each of you, how you are, as we like to say, the hands and feet of Jesus, how God is calling you on this day. It might be, in fact, sewing quilts, sending them on throughout the world for those in need. It might be really different. Just like Pastor Fred at chapel could speak meaningly and profoundly, even though he obviously hadn't prepared all that much, because he allowed wherever he was that day to be an expression of God's work in him. And the thing about the means of grace is that we're manifesting the grace of God, but we often don't know where or how that grace is going to reach others. Just like in our quilting ministry, we're going to box up all these quilts today. They're going to be sent all over the world, and we're not going to know exactly where they're going or the reach they have, how that grace will be expressed. And the reason we don't know, because it wasn't our work in the first place. It was God. God's the one who's fruitful. God's the one who's acting. The kingdom of God is neither taken away nor possessed because it's the action of God in our lives where we are. That's a gospel of freedom. This is God's act. Let's us go be God's hands and feet in the world. Amen.